Good afternoon. It is 1:30 and this is Talk on the Rock. The National Forest Service in the Tongass has a lot going on. Today we're going to hear from the U.S. Forest Service Wrangell District Ranger, Tori Hauser, about many of the projects happening here in this area. It's her 24th year with the Forest Service, and she was just promoted to District Ranger last month from serving as a recreational officer. She's here with us in the studio. You can call in to ask a question. The number is 2KSUK is 874-2345. Hi, Tori. Thanks for coming in today. How are you?
Hello, Colette. Thanks for inviting me in. It's great to be here on Talk on the Rock.
Yes, great. We're so excited you're here. So let's talk about your job. Congratulations. How does being a district ranger differ from your previous position as a recreational officer?
The district ranger is known as the line officer, and I am the official in charge of making decisions for the entire Wrangell Ranger District. So anything that needs it signed off on, that's my new job. And that means that our NEPA decisions, that's National Environmental Policy Act, and this new plan revision, I'll help coordinate that. And a lot of these projects, I'll have to do all of the signing off to make sure that we are following the forest plan and our standards and guidelines.
Yeah, yeah. And what did the recreational officer?
Oh, how did I ever leave the greatest job ever? But I got to help plan out recreation projects for the district and just try to help people have fun in the forest.
Okay, wow. Yeah, so it's like now you're signing papers and but very exciting things.
Yes, and I get to support the really excellent people in my staff that are planning out these amazing projects that are going on in the district. So I love that part, too.
That's great. Congratulations again. So there's two new project proposals, which are the Nemo Host Site Shelter and the Rainbow Falls Trail Reconstruction. Can you talk about each of these projects?
Sure. So you found these projects on what we call the SOPA. And I can't think of what that stands for. It's basically a project list for upcoming projects on the Forest Service that we are National Environmental Policy Act analysis on. So one of the projects is the Nemo Host Site, and we're hoping to construct a new shelter at that site. And that's the site where for many years there's been a potluck every Friday in the summertime that a group of volunteers puts on. And it's a wonderful, and they've always put up a temporary shelter there. And so it probably won't be this year, but hopefully in 2025 we'll be able to construct a more permanent shelter for those activities and for other people to use there. One of the cool things about this project is that Dan Flickinger, who's our new trails manager at the Forest Service and shelters, is going to go take a class on wood construction, timber framing. And so we're hoping to make our shelters, this being the first one, timber frame shelters with local yellow and red cedar. So we're pretty excited about being able to do this.
That's really awesome. And so he's going to take those skills and help build the shelters. Yep. And maybe the future shelters, too.
That's right.
Do you think cabins?
Well, probably we'll try to incorporate some of these skills into, like, cabin maintenance and definitely into some of the the trim work and that sort of thing. But for now, any of our new cabins, they're all going through a contract, and so they have like a very specific design that's being used.
So. Yeah, awesome. And then what about Rainbow Falls Trail Reconstruction?
Great. So on Rainbow Falls Trail, we were awarded $1 million to do upgrades to the trail, and we're this year completing a design that goes from the Zamovia Highway all the way up to, if people are familiar with the trail, the big bridge at the Y that goes to the Shoemaker Shelter and the High Country Shelter. So it's over a mile and a half of trail, and we're going to try to use a lot of gravel, stone steps, cement steps, and remove a lot of that slippery boardwalk that's there.
Wow. How long do you think that will take?
Our hope is that we'll be able to do the design, the NEPA analysis, so our specialists will come and identify if there are any possible effects to the environment from this project, which we don't anticipate. We think it's going to be a real benefit. And then take that design and put it into a contract and hopefully award that contract this fall, and then have it ready so people can begin construction next year. And it's conceivable they will finish the construction in a summer season.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what's going on with the Rembo Dock?
Okay. That's an active contract happening right now. And fortunately, the dock has been reattached to the gangplank, and the gangplank is brand new and really fancy and nice. And we're just waiting for materials to put the planking on, and it's ready to go. So should be ready definitely for hunting season this year. Woo, woo.
Awesome. And can you just, remind me what happened to the dock before?
In a big wind event, waves in Deep Bay there, or Roosevelt Harbor, got so big that they basically bucked the floating dock off the gangway, and so it came loose and sailed away. And so now it's been repaired, and people can use it again.
Nice. That's great. Okay. So, another exciting piece of news is that a tree from the Tongass National Forest will soon be selected to serve as the United States Capitol Christmas tree, otherwise known as the People's Tree. What information do you have on this?
Oh, this is so exciting. So basically, this is Alaska's tree, and originally it was going to come off the Chugach, but the Chugach actually supplied the tree 10 years ago for the Capitol. And so, it kind of came to light that, hey, we should try to have this tree come off the Tongass National Forest this time, and we can all work together, the two national forests in the region, the Chugach and the Tongass, and all of Alaska, to provide this tree to Washington, D.C. And it's going to be a real feat to get. This is going to be a 65 to 80 foot tall Sitka spruce. And I think people are pretty familiar that spruce, they grow in a forest. And so finding a perfect conical shaped tree is challenging. So first order of business, we have to find a tree. So I'm asking everybody, please, I hope lots of people are listening, that to just go out on the national forest, drive those roads, take your boat out, look for big, beautiful spruce trees that have that classic Christmas tree look. And then call us up at the Forest Service and give us an idea of where it is, and we'll go out and look.
That's exciting. So it's definitely a community involved whole project.
Yes.
For Christmas.
Absolutely.
At the Capitol.
Yep. I get to say every day, every Monday on our meetings, that I work for Santa Claus, because this year we're going to provide this big, beautiful tree. And we have to provide 10,000 ornaments. 10,000. It's going to be amazing. And we have a description of how ornaments would look, and kits. And so Claire Frolick, who is our education interpretation specialist, she is going to be leading up this effort. And you'll probably see her at all the events in Wrangell this year, making Christmas ornaments for this effort. And I did want to give a shout out to the school, which has been super helpful and on board, especially Tawny, for helping us make ornaments and get started on this project. So it's going to be great. And one thing I did want to say is that all the announcements haven't said that the tree is coming from the Wrangell Ranger District yet. And the reason for that is that we got to find a tree first so that we can like be assured that it's coming from here. So that's why we really need to get out as soon as possible, find that tree so that this could be Wrangell's tree.
So is it sort of a competition then?
No, but yes.
Are there other districts that are...
No, we have been bestowed this honor in Wrangell. But if we can't find a good tree, then it's going to go someplace else. So that's why we got to find one.
Is there a deadline for finding one?
Yeah, we want to try to find it by the end of May. Okay. Yep. And then this is really cool. The architect for the Capitol building is going to come out, and this person, his name's James Kaufman, and he's going to come out and select from a variety of trees that we present the actual Christmas tree that will be taken back to Washington, D.C. And then we enter into a whole new part of this this logistical challenge. Like, how are we going to cut down this giant tree? I mean, it's going to be at least 24 to 30 inch diameter, 65 to 80 feet tall. And we have to cut it without knocking those branches off. So we're going to have to use helicopters and barges and, like a specialized tractor trailer that can hold a tree of that length. So, again, I'm asking this community for their help because we certainly cannot do it alone. And we are looking for sponsors and just people that want to help with the effort. I'm not allowed to ask for the help, but the Society of American Foresters can, and I'll send the link to anybody who might be interested in helping in kind or has equipment that might be useful for this effort. And I can't wait to just hear from everybody and get this tree to Washington, D.C.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so you said 75 feet minimum?
65 to 80.
What on the scale? Like, what compare? How many story building would you say?
Oh, gosh. Let's say that a story is 10 feet, so at least 7 stories.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Yeah.
That's
a story. A 10 foot's probably big, so 8 feet more likely still. So it's pretty
big.
Wow. 9 stories.
And it's a huge, it's a whole event with barges and helicopters. Yeah. And okay, so I'm guessing the process of this, of getting the tree and then taking it to the Capitol, everything is kind of, it's not linear probably. That like during the time ornaments are being made, and then, you know, you mentioned the architect is flying in. So anything else with this process that you would like to add? Like, is it going to be shipped by train as well? And
actually, this is really neat. It is a celebration. And I do want, for those fiscally responsible folks that are like, oh, my gosh, why is the Forest Service spending this much money? Fortunately, this is all actually sponsored by, there's a group like Steel Chainsaws and 49 Lumber and various sponsors that are supporting this effort and paying for a lot of those logistical things. So how are we going to do it? It's actually a roadshow. We get to show off. This is an opportunity to show off Alaska Forest to the rest of the United States. So we are going to take the tree on a tractor trailer across the country, and we'll have various stops along the way where, you know, it's a Christmas tree. So Santa will be there, and we'll be able to talk about the Tongass and the Chugach National Forest. We hope that our tribal partners will also come with us, and so we'll be able to talk about some of the tribes and their connection to national forests. So it is actually an opportunity to kind of bring Alaska in a small way to the rest of the country.
Yeah, and I also read it's a whistle stop tour too, right? And that's basically, you know, the traveling of the tree and everybody else, Santa Claus along the way. That's exciting.
Yep. And I'm hoping that several folks from the district will get to come along and bring this, deliver it all the way to the Capitol in Washington, D.C., and meet with the senators and do the candle lighting service, and then, you know, be able to proudly present for Wrangell, Alaska. That's why it's coming from Wrangell. the tree from Alaska's National Forest.
Do you have an idea of when the tree road trip will start?
In November.
Okay.
And it's also important to me personally that that we were honored in Wrangell to be able to provide the tree, because I think that having something to celebrate in November of this coming year is going to be important for our community.
Yeah. Definitely. Thank you. So, moving on to the next topic. A couple months ago, we talked about the cabins project. This includes one cabin near Lawn Lake on Wrangell, which is called Little Lakes Cabin, but it will be renamed to a Tlingit name. And then another cabin on Mitkoff Island, which is known as Woodpecker Cabin. And of course, the roof repair at Ann Ann Cabin, right? Mm-hmm. Is there any new progress with any of these?
Yes, ma'am. Little Lakes, we are working on our wetland permit to be able to fill for the foundation for that cabin. We're getting, and the design is like at its 90% for that cabin. It will be ready for contracting this summer and hopefully construction next year. We're really moving with a lot of progress on Little Lakes, which is great. On Woodpecker, kind of the same general time frame. That project's coming along. It's not in a muskeg, so it's a little bit less complex in terms of a wetland permit. And so they're working on some final touches on an outhouse design for that project. But Ann Ann Bay, work started today on that project. So Jesse West and Rainforest Contracting are out at Ann Ann right now. Today was the first day of work, and they are working on both the lower deck of the Ann Ann Observatory and the Ann Ann Bay Cabin. So for Ann Ann Bay Cabin, right now they're working on deconstructing the old cabin, what's remaining of it, all the way down to the foundation. They're going to assess the foundation, see if they need entirely, and then they'll build up to the floor. And then they're waiting right now for the materials for the cabin to come in. And so fingers crossed, they'll come in and they'll be able to construct it, and it will be open for this season. And then if those materials don't come in time, then they'll just have it to the floor and they'll construct it in the fall after the Ann Ann permit season.
Okay, great. And that's the Ann Ann Bay cabin. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, of course, you just mentioned the observatory deck, the photo blind at Ann Ann Bear Observatory is there's construction happening there too. They're replacing the photo blind, right?
That's right.
Is there anything else you'd like to share on that?
Well, let's see here. So it's the same company, Rainforest Contracting, which did the upper deck just a year ago, did it really successfully. We're super happy that they're going to be working on this too. Work started today. What can I say about it? It's a complex project. They're going to be doing a little in-stream foundation work quickly. They're going to construct a spiral staircase and enlarge the lower platform. It's going to be two stories. And they are scheduled to be finished by mid-June, so that there's sort of a little break between when July 5th, when the Annam permit season starts.
Okay, great. And then also, cameras.
Yep.
Cameras will be...
It's a reality. It's so exciting. Colette got to go out last week with our Annan audiovisual team, which is a team of high school students, high school and middle school students, who are working with us through a partnership with the Teaching Through Technology T3 Alliance. And they are working to design a camera system for Annan. So many of the people that visit Annan, maybe the bears are just not visual at that time. They're on a cruise boat, so they have a really short time to be there. And this, by having some cameras set underwater in various places near the deck that aren't visible from the deck, and then up at an upper falls, we'll be able to put footage from these cameras on screens at the Annan deck that people can watch, and then they'll be able to see bears fishing and bears at the upper falls. We'll actually be able to use it for research to see like what bears are in which places at what times. We have a project to do AI, so to do bear face recognition, which the students are helping us with. And it's been really interesting. They've taken a few field trips out to Annan, where they really gelled their conceptual ideas. And so now they worked with the University of Alaska and the T3 Alliance to figure out what cameras they want to put up, how they're going to power the system, how they're going to connect all the system pieces together, so that they can connect to these screens and show their footage, how to protect the cameras when they're in underwater in the cases. And we've got Great American Outdoors Act funding to purchase this equipment and install it. And hopefully we'll have some of it installed by July 5th so that the system will be up and running for our visitors to Annan.
That's so exciting. It is amazing. And just thinking about I met the high schoolers last week, and it's amazing they have this opportunity.
May I just thank Claire for putting so much work, and Jen Cardiac, who is our manager at Annan. The two of them have worked so hard to organize the program and work with the students and put together the logistics for these field trips, which are complex, and then work with our partners to put together an agreement that puts this funding and makes it available so that the students can buy the equipment and install it. It's just been a huge and wonderful lift, and they've taken it on with, you know, lots of energy and big smiles. So
yeah,
I'm proud of them.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's so incredible. And I'm excited for everything. And then also the cameras, those are webcams, live webcams for anybody to see?
They won't be live webcams yet. We actually, at the Forest Service, we would probably have to go through a process to legally publish that information. So first, it's going to be just shown at the observatory deck. And then once we kind of work through that process, then maybe we'll be able to put it up live on a web.
Okay, great. Yeah, good to know. I didn't know for sure, but now I do. And then just speaking of T3 as well, T3 Alliance, they helped with the Little Lakes cabin
too. Absolutely. Yeah, and I've just had the opportunity to kind of work through a sequence of how do we get to where we are? Why would the Forest Service, this federal agency, say, wow, the best people to help me with this AV system are high school students. And the reason is that we've seen a lot of success over the past, it's been about 4 years, that when working with the T3 Alliance, where they started off doing cabin condition surveys and using their 3D cameras to do street view for some of our trails. And the Forest Service was able to use that information in some planning efforts like Rainbow Falls. They did street view on Rainbow Falls, and then our designers were able to use that to help them do their design work on the trail. And then this past summer, the students went out, used their drones to collect really great high quality photo imagery from above at Little Lakes. And then our landscape architect was able to take that, put it into his mapping software, and use that to find elevations and very scientifically figure out where the accessible trails would need to go, where how to orient the cabin, and then calculate fill for the wetland permit. So all the information has been used, and the students have done such a high quality job of providing information that we keep returning to them over and over again to help us do this kind of work.
So cool. It's really awesome. And just speaking of Little Lakes again, has the cabin been renamed to the Tlingit name?
Not yet. Okay. Not yet. We're still working. And if Virginia's out there, I know she's thinking about a name.
Yeah. Okay. And now, can you just talk about the Southeast Alaska Community Workshops for the upcoming Tongass Forest Plan revision?
Wonderful. Not always the topic of excitement for people, but I want to change that. We want to revision the revision, okay? So how do we make forest planning fun? Well, this year, we're really lucky because an organization called Spruce Root is helping the Forest Service through some grant funding to work on a public workshop process that will hopefully be more inclusive and inviting, and they're providing food. So come to our meeting because we'll feed you, which is the Forest Service is not, we can't do, but because we have this partner and they're helping us out. So on April 22nd at the Nolan Center from 3 to 6, we have a forest plan revision public workshop where we can learn about what is the forest plan, what does it do, what does a revision mean? So it's our opportunity to change the standards and guidelines and update how the Forest Service manages its gigantic 17 million acres of area in the Tongass National Forest. And definitely updating our purpose and what we're doing and why and who we're serving. All of these things need to be considered. And the only way they'll be considered is if our public comes and tells us what's important to them. So I really encourage folks to come to the Nolan Center April 22nd from 3 to 6. It's certainly not that whole time. You can come in. We'll have some tables set up with information. It's kind of, hopefully, it's going to be fun. It's revisioned. So, you know, there's some drawing opportunities. There's some voting. There's opportunities to just write out your thoughts. There'll be people like the actual planner folks that will be doing the work of reconstructing this forest plan. And it's the guiding document for everything that we do. So it'll be an opportunity for people to tell us in many different ways what's important to them.
Yeah, and has it happened before? Like, is this a common recurrence?
We haven't had plan revision since 1997. Okay. So it is definitely important and timely because over that 25, 26, 30, a lot of time, math is horrible, 27 years, a lot has changed culturally here in Wrangell and throughout Southeast Alaska. And so we want to make that the National Forest is reflecting this sort of our new reality here.
Great. Thank you so much, Tori. So this wraps up our Talk on the Rock session. I was just talking with U.S. Forest Service Ringgold District Ranger Tori Hauser. Yeah, thank you for listening. We are now going to jump on into World Cafe.